I wish that it were possible to celebrate this very wonderful time of the year without all the hustle and the bustle and all the other things which I guess if they weren't there, some of us would miss. I'm not too sure that I would, but I'm quite sure that others would. Nevertheless, we want to continue our theme for this Christmas season. As we have been thinking of Christmas, we have been thinking about the glory of God. Ultimately, it will be the glory of God that we will have to deal with when we stand before our judge. Last Sunday, we looked at that great and familiar passage of Scripture found in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We looked previously to the glory that was hidden way back there in eternity, the glory of God, and what that meant. I'm quite sure that up to this moment we do not fully understand. It will help us perhaps this morning as we look at Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, to understand another aspect of the glory of God as we think of Christmas. Luke chapter 2. As you're searching your Bibles to save time, I will read verse 9 through to verse 14. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased." Before we take some moments with this text, I would like to share with you the fact that Carl Timbers was taken to the hospital with a heart attack this past week. And this morning we want to take time to pray for Carl, who is in the hospital at this time. Will you join me in prayer, please? Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that in the midst of all the surprises of life that we go through, nothing takes God by surprise. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of creation. And so, Father, when our brother Carl was stricken with a heart attack this week, it was no surprise to you. We would wonder at a statement like that, because the human response would, why didn't God prevent it? We are not God, nor do we desire to be. What we do know, our Father, that in all our afflictions, you are afflicted. And so we thank you that our pains are your pains. Our distresses are your distresses. But oh, what a difference in handling the pains and the distresses. The Lord Jesus Christ, by coming into this world, identified with our pains and our distresses. And now he ever lives to make intercessions for us. And this morning, as we think of Carl, we thank you that he is not alone in that hospital room. That Father, Emmanuel is truly a part of his own experience this morning. God is with us. Draw near to him, to Marin, and each member of the family. We pray that at this Christmas time, when so many of us are concerned about what we're going to get or what we're going to give, that, oh God, he will soberly think about the one who truly came to make this season meaningful. Draw near to him, we pray. Comfort him and each member of the family, and give wisdom and direction to the doctors and to the nurses who will care for Carl. And we pray that he will truly, in the will of God, be home for Christmas. Father, there are others who are facing distresses, those who are still out of jobs at this Christmas time, those who are still going through painful experiences in their bodies. We commit each of these to you this morning. There are homes, Father, that are still feeling the strain of, Lord, fractured relationship, oh, may this Christmas time bring healing to spirit, soul, and body for the glory of God in the will of God. Now, our God, as we come to your word, may it become alive by the ministry of your spirit to the glory of God and for our soul's good. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the most enjoyable experiences I have ever had in my life was in my student days out in Western Canada, when I was selected as one of the students to represent the college I attended at that time at Urbana in Urbana, Illinois. I was to meet some 15,000 to 20,000 students from around the world. And for 3.5 days, we were going to celebrate missions, celebrate the work of God in the lives of students across the world. And then the very last night, before we all dispersed the following day, we had a communion service. I have never seen anything like it in my life, or experienced anything since. 15,000 people taking the communion. And at the conclusion of that service, one outburst of praise to God as we celebrated the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming again of Jesus Christ. I don't know whether the angels and the multitude with them understood all the scenarios of what was going to take place. But this much I know, it must have been some scene. We are told that the shepherds were minding their own business. They were taking care of their sheep. It was their job, a lowly job, a job that did not actually attract the attention of the officials in the town where they lived. But nevertheless, for some strange reason in the providence and in the mysteries of God, it came about that God did not announce the birth of his son, the coming into the world of Christ the Messiah. He did not announce that to those in power, not to those in a palace, not to those with prestige. He announced it to lowly shepherds whose hearts, perhaps, and no doubt, anticipated the promise of Isaiah when he wrote several years before, 750 years before, that there was going to come a day when a Savior was going to be born. Not a doctor, says Joseph Parker. Not a philosopher. The world has had its philosophers. The world has had its doctors. What the world needed was a Savior. And God provided a Savior. And then we come to this very wonderful scene. Suddenly, without anticipating it, without thinking that anything extraordinary would happen that night, all of a sudden, the heavens leapt, and there was an angel of the Lord. And he came before those lowly shepherds. And what we are told is something magnificently beautiful. The glory of the Lord was around them. Just for a brief moment this morning, friends, consider with me the appearing of this glory. The appearing of this glory. Listen to what our text says. It was the glory of the Lord. It was not the glory of the angels. Not the glory of the heavenly beings, but the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? We went through that our first message. The glory of the Lord is the outshining of that which is the true and perfect character of God. There is a radiance from God which human eyes can never behold unless they're covered by the hands of God and actually reduced so that man could appreciate it. This is why Moses was told, no man can see God and live. The glory of the Lord is the character of God, the perfection of God. It is the manifestation, my friends, of the attributes of God, all that makes God, God. But it's interesting, it doesn't say the glory of God. It says the glory of the Lord. You see, when we use the word God, we use the word which speaks of all that he does. When we use the word Lord, we speak of all that he is. Jehovah, Yahweh. It was from him. It was out of him came this brilliance which surrounded the angel. It was something so magnificent. It was something so extraordinary that the only logical response that the shepherds could actually give to this was one of fear. One of fear. And so would you, my friends, and so would I, if Jesus Christ did not come veiled in human flesh. John could never write for us later on, "We beheld his glory." Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. He veiled his glory in human flesh. Have you ever wondered, my friends, why? Why? When the wise men went to the cradle, no doubt by this time our Lord was about a year and a half old. He was no longer a little baby in the cradle. But when they get to the place where the baby was, they saw Mary, they saw Joseph, and they worshipped the baby. We beheld his glory. What was it? What was it that was so unique about that babe that these brilliant men, these brilliant astronomers came and worshipped at the feet of a little baby? John said, we beheld his glory. Not the glory of angels, not the glory of seraphims, not the glory of cherubim, but the glory of Jehovah. And my friends, Christmas is this. Christmas is God saying, I want to manifest my glory to a lost world. It shows the greatness of God, and it shows the greatness of God's love for the world. If no man could see him and live, and yet he came in the person of his son, then God must have a great love for this world to veil his glory in human flesh. But I want you to consider with me not only the source of the glory, consider with me the shining of the glory. Note again what our text says. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Not from them, not in them, but around them. No wonder we call his name Emmanuel, for it means God is with us. God is with us. In the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, Moses goes up to the mountain. He spends time with God. And as Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights, the scripture says when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining. His face was radiant. His face was brilliant. His face actually was effervescent with something with which he did not go up. What was that? It was the glory which was God's, which God allowed Moses to see. He veiled that somehow, we see in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. Moses did not see God. Face was shining with the glory of God. My friends, in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul, dealing with exactly the same thing, and he writes these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we, those who are Christ's, we with open face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same likeness from one state of glory to the next. It was the privilege of Moses to see the backside of God and shine with the glory of God. It is your privilege and mine to know Jesus Christ not only as the babe in Bethlehem, but as the throne glory in heaven. By faith we can see him this morning, and as we spend time with him, whether in prayer or whether in the word, when we spend time with God, we too begin to reflect the glory of God. Let me ask the question seriously, friends. At this Christmas time, will people come to your home and see the glory? Will people be conscious of the radiance, something extraordinary about you and about me? Will my home be filled with praise for my friends? If there were no God, there would be no glory. The angels would have nothing to reflect but themselves if God were not in heaven, gloriously enthroned in the eternal glories. He is in heaven, and in the person of his Son, he comes to earth. And those who now know his Son, listen, not simply as the babe in Bethlehem, listen, not only as the Christ of Calvary, but as the throne gloried Lord in heaven. We behold him, and we too shine. We too reflect. I was asking my class this morning, what if this certain thing were taken away from you at this Christmas time? What would make you the saddest if that one thing were taken away from you? You can take away anything about Christmas, but don't take this away. What would that be? I know that you expect me, as a minister, to hear from you, Christ. I'm sure you would say that. But my friends, what if you would wake up Thursday morning? It's Thursday, no, Friday. What if you wake up Friday morning and there were no trees in your living room, no present under the trees? What if someone who used to give you $5,000 every Christmas decides not to give it to you this year? What would make you angry? Now, I'm exaggerating when I say that. I'm saying this, my friends, because for us, the glory of Christmas is not what happens to us because of beholding him. The glories of Christmas is what I get because of who I know. Now, believe me, we are all looking forward to the gift exchange. Of course, it's a part of Christmas. Of course it is. This past week, I was taking my son home. And as I was listening to Christmas carols. And he looked at me with a very serious three-year-old concern. Says, "Daddy, what is God's last name?" Wow. He looked at me and he said, "Think, Daddy, think." It's the truth. I wasn't thinking, I was praying. And I said, "God's last name is Almighty." I'll explain it later on. It satisfied him at the moment. But it is, friends. God's last name is Almighty. When we think of Christmas, my friends, we are thinking of a glorious God who came into human history to lift humanity from the dredge of sin and to lift it to the place where it can understand that its truest and highest purpose in existing is to glorify God with the glory of God. And so if everything else is missing, let me not miss his glory. Let me not miss his glory. Well, let me go on quickly. That was what I call the appearing of the glory. The source, it belongs to God, so does Christmas. The shining was not the angels, it belonged to God. Both source and shining are God's. Quickly, the what I call the ascribing of glory. The ascribing of glory. Verse 14. Verse 9, suddenly the angels appear, the glory around them. Now, the multitude appear and they're singing, glory to God. Now, they were not giving anything to God. They were not adding anything to God. They were acknowledging something about God. And they, my friends, were acknowledging the giver of this marvelous gift. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Suddenly, the angels burst out in praise. Glory to God. What were they doing? The word glory is one of the great words of the New Testament because it has so many different meanings. And I'll use two this morning in concluding this word, this meditation. The first of these, my friends, is to acknowledge in someone worthiness. It is to have an opinion so high, so pure, so great, that you burst out immediately with a sense of awe. The angels came from glory. They lived with that tremendous, magnificent brilliance in heaven. Yet when they came on earth and they announced the birth of the Savior, which did not really relate to them, they were acknowledging something in God which called for the angels to glorify Him. To say to God, "You are worthy. You are to be praised. You are great. In my opinion, there is no one like you." That's what the word glory means. They are giving to God, they're acknowledging to God something in God that has actually affected them to the place where they are now relating the incident in the cradle to the cause of God in glory. St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. We too are called to join at this Christmas time, my friends, with the angels, to give glory to God, to acknowledge that He is the one who is behind the entire scheme of Christmas. As we come this morning and as we think of Friday morning, let us take time each day not to sing the 12 days of Christmas, but to rehearse step by step, day by day, ways in which I am to glorify God in whatever I do. And then the adorning of God. Not only did they acknowledge Him, they adored Him. Another use of this word, glory, is to worship, is to honor. I can say something with my lips to God, but I will show now with my body what I feel. And they lifted their hands, as it were, and they focused upon heaven. Listen to what they said. "Glory to God in the highest. I will not stay on earth. I will go to the very highest, for no man reaches his highest purpose of living until he can glorify God for the Son of God." That's when man reaches his apex. The true purpose for you and for me to be alive today is to give glory to God. Sin had effaced that. Sin had affected it. But in time and space, God came in the glorious appearance of His Son. And when He came that man might once again be raised to the place where he understands that the truest and the highest purpose of all living is to acknowledge God and to adore God. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Christmas exaltation, and then the festival of joy.